Bueno, aquí estamos terminando más su programa de Esferio. Claro que teníamos que poner la música de los anuncios. Of course we had to put on the announcement music because we're finishing up the show and it's time to do announcements. Really, we only have a handful of announcements for you. And by that, I mean a very tiny handful. First of all, we have a special alert for those in the Boston area. We don't ordinarily do this, of course. But it just so happened that this piece of news came to us here, so we thought we should pass it on. There is an All Points Bulletin out for Jack the Quaker Parakeet. Last seen, presumably somewhere in the Somerville area, last Friday, or maybe Saturday. And Jack's companions would like him back. If you have seen Jack the Quaker Parakeet, I think he's a Quaker Parakeet, but I'm not really sure. He's green. Might be a lovebird. A medium-sized bird, if you will. If you live in the Cambridge-Somerville area and you have recently come across a very brightly plumed bird in the very dark Boston winter, call this station and let us know, and we will try to help out. Our phone number, of course, is 617-253-8810, but you can also send an email to spherio@wmbr.org. That is S-P-H-E-R-I-O. Tell us if you saw Jack the Parakeet, and we will pass this information on to Jack's people. The only other announcement that we have today, believe it or not, is a sort of long-distance one to let you know that the Human Rights Watch International Film Festival is coming up. Not until January 16th. So mark your calendars, and with any luck, Sferio will be able to give you more details about that. That will be happening at the Museum of Fine Arts, Boston. It's a day-long event from youth videos about change. At any rate, that's it from me. Eso es todo. Y se me olvidó poner los anuncios en español, vaya. Pero ya está la gente para el próximo programa, así que tenemos que terminar aquí. Muchísimas gracias para todos, todas. Y we will see you next week.
فمرحبا إلى Music for Human. I'm الدكتور جالس السكران and I welcome you to Music for Human on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. Music for Human, for new listeners and prognosticators, is New Age Talk Radio. And I am joined today by the classical martial arts historian, Po.
Hello.
Welcome, Po.
Thank you.
And also we have Aurora.
Yeah, hello.
Voice specialist.
Therapist.
And also today we have a newcomer, Professor Levine, professor of Jewish mysticism.
Hello.
Welcome, Professor Levine.
Good to be here.
So, in order to begin the show here, Professor Levine will do a segment on weather.
Weather can be very meaningful to us. In particular, the meaning of the weather right now in Cambridge is 32 degrees Fahrenheit. We expect a little bit of snow and weather down to 22. And for the coming week, high 31, 40, 40, 39, 37. And low 22, 17, 26, 21, 24, 23. That's the weather.
Thank you for that elegant and enlightening summary, Professor Levine. Weather is a fascinating subject. It changes so randomly and unpredictably, and yet it is annoying, like a flea or pubic louse. It can be difficult to control oneself when snowed upon.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned pubic louse. One of the good things about the weather is that when it is cold outside, one can easily rid themselves of pubic louse.
Pubic lice.
Pubic lice, thank you.
It's very rare that a single louse will invade your pubis without bringing along a great number of his friends. Hence, we often use the plural.
And at the same time, we must consider each lice's happiness.
Louse. Yes, well, it's rare that one does consider the happiness of a louse. It is lacking in many advanced social graces, shall we say.
Such as announcing their presence.
They can be rather vocal about their presence.
Each louse, according to Jewish mysticism, can be considered a microcosm of the entire universe.
A microcosm, indicating that the louse is like the whole universe.
Indeed.
Well, in a sense, each one of us is a louse upon the pubic surface of the earth.
The cosmic pubic surface.
I think it's important to note that even for a single louse, there are other organisms, bacteria, that live on the louse, that feed on the louse or the products of the louse, that everything can be considered a louse on a different level. the bacteria are the louse's louse. We are the earth's louse.
So it's all a hierarchy. Our operator is indicating our first caller miraculously before I announce the call-in number. Welcome, caller.
Hey, remember when I said porcupine?
Yes, yes, porcupine.
Yes.
It's
porcupine.
Sort of a louse of its own. Is it Robert?
Yes.
Welcome,
porcupine.
Robert.
Porcupine, am I a porcupine?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the porcupine because, like the louse, the porcupine has needles. And this also relates, of course, to a recent interest of our martial arts historical practitioner, Poe, which is acupuncture.
That is right. Now, I think when you mention the porcupine, the needles are, first and foremost, a form of self-defense, right? That's what they're there for. It's a certain style of self-defense. When you want to attack a porcupine, consider the actions that...
I thought a porcupine would, like to be, They said that animals don't even like sex. Do you think porcupines like being defensive?
Robert, let me ask you a question.
Porcupines are defensive by nature. Porcupines have no thought.
Robert, if you are a porcupine, then what are your needles?
You know, I really like buildings, the big, tall ones.
So the tall buildings are your needles.
So let's bring this another point into the discussion, gentlemen. Caller 2, welcome to Music for Human.
Hey, y'all. It's the real Randy Taylor. Happy New Year. What's going on?
Welcome, Randy.
So what's for the topic for tonight? Something about pubic louse or something like that?
Lord. Yeah, recently the discussion has centered around the pubic area and the lice that may be infesting therein.
So it's like they're their own universe or something like that? Man, that's something else. I tell y'all what, ever since New Year's Eve party night, I have been in a world unto myself. My Lord, I am still in a state of recovery. I think I got my own universe going on in my stomach.
And so that's a really, you know, interesting approach for the comparison here. You start to talk about yourself as a louse, feeding upon the wonderful energy of the new year. I wonder if any of you, our callers or our my co-hosts, frequent gymnasium.
Frequent gymnasiums? No, man, I don't really work out. I mean, I'm kind of lazy.
I go occasionally, every once in a while, to study self-defense, to study martial art history, of course.
Well, if a gymnasium were the pubic area of a university, then people with gym resolutions would be the pubic lice.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Following every occasion, every new year, you see a mass infestation of these pubic lice.
I mean, I tell y'all, the only infestation I've seen going on lately is all these yuppies coming up trying to build these farmhouses out in the middle of my property. That's the only thing I've seen. That and my athlete's foot from working construction all day. Y'all ever run into that athlete's foot stuff? Lord, man, that make you crazy. It's so bad, Lord, you wish you died.
Oh, athlete's foot, I've had several bouts. Of course, I frequent gymnasiums in unusual places. Gymnasium, of course, coming from the Greek gymnos, meaning nude, hence the association with the pubic lice. After a severe bout of athlete's foot, in which I nearly lost a leg in 1954, I began experimenting with walking on my hands. And after much training, I found that I was able to change my clothes and take a shower entirely on my hands. Upon returning to the gym, I quickly developed athlete's hand. Something I previously thought was impossible.
Well, it's interesting that your solution should cause such a greater problem in the end. Perhaps you were looking at the wrong problem.
It's ironic. It seems constantly that we try to solve problems and our solutions cause more problems, more serious problems.
As a transdermal mediator, how would you suggest people cure athlete's foot in the future?
Well, meditation, candles, perhaps wearing sandals to the gym.
Actually, a less conventional cure has to do with acupuncture. Now, I know that in my studies, at least, I found acupuncture in a variety of uses to cure acute pain, for instance. But it has also been shown to be effective even for things like athlete's foot.
Lord, let me tell y'all, athlete's foot ain't nothing that can't be cured by a stiff drink. I mean, y'all want to talk about pain management and stuff? Lord, I'm going to manage to get rid of some pain when I drink me a bottle of that. Woo! Go for it.
Well,
yeah.
Well, caller, have you made any New Year's resolutions?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm going to try not to drink as much because Lord knows I got a tie around my waist that makes me look like a dump truck, but other than that, not really. I'm going to try to keep my wife in line and try not to be too much of a you-know-what kicker, because I tell you what, I got into a little bit of trouble with the law on Happy New Year's, and, well, let's just say the Alabama State Patrol ain't exactly sympathetic to my trying to work any kind of new-agey nonsense on them on the side of the road. Y'all got any advice for, like, a spiritual way to deal with the popo?
Well, I can tell you one short anecdote of an incident in Egypt. I'm not sure.
Yeah, give
if,
it up.
Yes. So I was driving at 150 kilometers in my father's blue Mercedes.
How fast is that in American speed?
Very, very fast. Outside of the suburbs of Cairo. And, of course, one of the local policemen apprehended me on the side of the road.
What'd they do to you? They put you in one of them bathhouses or something like that?
Well, no, there was no rape. He was simply looking for a bribe.
Time.
A bribe,
oh, right.
I believe.
Oh.
And naturally, I didn't have enough money. So I came up on the spot with a solution.
What was your solution?
My solution involved the knowledge that the police in Egypt are somewhat spiritual themselves. So I said that before he could give me a ticket, we had to do the prayer of the ticket. So there we were on the side of the road. Naturally, I led the prayer, and it was evening, so the prayer was out loud. I began reciting the longest chapter of the Quran. For hours we stood there, I to the left and the cop to the right, praying that the ticket would bring justice to me for having committed such a heinous crime.
Uh-huh.
So after we did our prostration, I stood up again and started reciting the second longest chapter of the Quran. Now, mind you, at this point, the policeman and I had been standing there for easily 2, 3, 4 hours. So the policeman left, and I completed the prayer on my own and received no ticket. So as you
man,
can see,
man, that's lucky. I tell you what, them Egyptian cops ain't nothing like the Alabama State Patrol. I mean, I have dealt with them so many times on the side of the road, and they are merciless. I mean, they will tase you, pepper spray you, club you half to death. But Lord knows when they try to stick you into the back of that police cruiser, they're like, oh, watch your head. I'm like, what do you mean, watch my head, dude? You just beat the living crap out of me trying to get me into this thing. Now I got to watch my head? Why don't you watch how many bolts you put into me next time? I mean, Lord, it just about zapped the spirit right out of me. You know, that's a thought. Do you think, like, a taser's a way to get closer to God or anything like that? Because, Lord, I felt close to peeing myself.
Well, you need to get tasered, man.
I think Dr. Sakran brought up an interesting story, and maybe when we get in trouble, when we are had a disagreement with others, whether it is with a policeman or a fireman, we can seek to share an experience with them, as, you know, prayer is one way to do that.
So regard the officer, the person who is tasing you as your brother, and engage them in a spiritual experience and thereby defeat them.
I wouldn't really recommend wasting too much of their time with prayer. You'd probably just, like, get on your separate ways pretty quick.
Well, often physical pain can lead to spiritual enlightenment. So the shock from the taser and from the beating from the police should give you an experience of well-being in the soul. And you should thank the police for that beating.
Well, I tell y'all what, if physical pain leaves to the palace of wisdom, then I'm going to be the wisest old coot that ever lived, because I have been beaten down so many times by the state patrol in the fine state of Alabama, it is almost beyond count.
And now, also, I tell y'all, consider the pain in your gut from your New Year's celebrations to be part of the path to enlightenment.
That's a thought. I was reading the other day in that, what was it, Reader's Digest? They put little excerpts in the back of them catalogs for NASCAR races, and they had a little quote in there from some dude named William Blake. I don't know who he was, probably like some kind of entrepreneur or something, but he said, "The path to excess leads to the palace of wisdom." Now, I tell y'all what, I have been a rather excessive person in my day, and I ain't found no palace of wisdom just yet. The only thing I find are a bunch of power bills.
Well, it's difficult to learn how to look within. But perhaps if you take a second and look closer into yourself, you can find the palace of wisdom.
That's a thought, I guess. The only thing I think I'm going to find inside of me is a bad CAT scan. So what'd y'all do? Y'all got any New Year's resolutions this year?
I find New Year's to be a point upon a circle. And as a circle, a point is irrelevant. It is a continuum of the rest of the circle.
End of a circle, that's a thought. The only way I ever looked at it was the end of a calendar month. But I guess a circle's another way to look at it. Is it kind of like a cycle or something like that?
Precisely. It is just one more day upon the year. If I celebrate it, why do I not celebrate any other day?
Oh, I got you. Oh, Lord, y'all. Hey, I can't believe it. They got a state patrol officer knocking at my door. Let me put you on hold for about 5 minutes. I'll be right back.
Good luck. Now, it is interesting. I've had many police officers at my voice practice. They always have difficulty with gruff voices that I'm sure many of you have noticed.
Aurora, are you a specialist in the commanding bark?
Unfortunately, my specialty lies in soothing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have another caller. Marhaban, you are on Music for Human.
Hi.
Welcome back, Randy.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
We should consider the meaning of New Year's within the context of our many lives. New Year's is the passing of one year, and our life is the passing of one life among many.
That's a strong point.
Caller 2, did you recognize the new year?
I did. I teach yoga. That's what I do for a living in Miami, and I'm up here for Christmas and the New Year and stuff. And I actually hadn't really partied hard in a while, so I went to a party and I partied harder than I had in a while, which I'm regretting a lot, so I'm trying to get back on the horse and eat well, and I got some bath salts for Christmas and my birthday, so I took a bath. I'm trying to get all the bad vibes out of my body.
Are there bad vibes within your soul as well?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, caller two, may I recommend a tarot card reading from Aurora, our voice therapist and tarot card practitioner?
Is she certified?
She is certified by the Jalis Sakran Institute on Tarot.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that, but okay, sure.
I wouldn't trust it.
It's extremely.
Why give me one? Go for it.
It's extremely well known.
Okay, well, it's my prerogative, right? So I'm gonna say yes.
Okay, let me pull the cards for you.
Caller two, it would help, I believe, if you visualized yourself cutting a deck of tarot cards with your dominant hand.
I don't. Okay, what's on the back of them?
Blue checkered print.
Checkered print?
Yes.
Blue?
A turquoise color.
Okay, that's what I thought.
See, for the first card, I've drawn death. This indicates your past self. Apparently, you've undergone some change recently, and in the past, you were a worse version of yourself.
Mm.
So I got
my teeth whitened about 2 weeks ago. That's really weird.
Well, interesting. That could definitely be reflected by the death card. Also, your partying and your ill habits.
Did you pull the death card?
I did.
Does that...
You're not gonna die.
Am I dead?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Perhaps it means that one of your former lives, in one of your former lives, you died.
Weird. And not good.
Death can indicate big change, something that you are afraid of, something that is natural, and something that affects everyone. Perhaps something with white horse.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think this card reflects
cocaine.
A great change rather than death itself. As it is the card that I drew of your past self. And for
is
your
death white or black? Sorry.
In this card, it's depicted as a black, as a skeleton in a black suit of armor riding a white horse.
So it's just one horse, no one's riding it, right?
No, there is a...
No, that's an interesting point, because that's, you know, if you think about that, you know, I'd love to be a skeleton riding a black horse. And, you know, if that's what happened to me when I died, is I became a skeleton on a horse, you know, I'd kill myself right now. You know, I'd just down all of wheat germ in my house and
well,
wait for the end. And there's an
interesting
theory about Jesus, which is, you know, he got crucified because his real message was to achieve oneness with God. You have to die in a painful way.
Well, caller, let me stop you there. The death card does not indicate that upon death you will become death itself, just as when you are brought to the ground after leaping off of a small mountain, you do not become gravity.
Right. You just become a skeleton on a horse.
Well, you become gravity.
What's your brain charged with?
You become...
So your whole body's charged with electricity. Can you really not destroy electricity? But obviously your brain's just a collection of memories.
Would you like me to finish your reading?
Okay. I'd love that.
Okay. Your present self, the card that I drew for it, is Temperance. indicating possibly that you are attempting to temper your past behaviors, but that you are not doing it in an efficient manner. You need to knot down an entire casket of wheat germ. Perhaps a small bowl.
Of cold and blow.
Yes. Mm.
I have just a bowl. I got a nice bowl for Christmas. It's made for backpacking, but I keep it next to my nightstand in case I want some late night yogurt.
Excellent.
Could probably double as a chamber pot.
I haven't had to do that yet, but.
And
that's
temperance,
a good idea.
Temperance will keep you from having to do that, which is an excellent thing in life.
Well, sometimes you just gotta go.
Definitely, especially if you down an entire thing of wheat germ.
And the
you guys don't make any sense. That's what kicks that on either.
The final card in the
final card for the future. Reading. Is the Ten of Wands. And this depicts a young man who is struggling to carry 10 wands at once. And he's doing it in an incredibly inefficient manner. And he seems to be trying to pitch a tent.
Mm. I have a tent pitched right now.
So, you know, clearly
downstairs.
Tents are in your future. I mean, something that's... So the Ten of Wands indicates something that's seems very simple to do, simply pitching a tent with a number of long wooden rods.
Right, but mostly they don't come with instructions, so it's
precisely, and so you have a long journey ahead of you with some difficult wand pitching.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to take a step back and try to determine the most efficient way to pitch a tent.
Right.
It looks like 10 is too many, right? You only need maybe 3 or 4 is the usual number that you would need to pitch a tent.
So maybe you're trying to...
Yeah, as long as they're segmented and they have the elastic running through them. Yeah, you only need like 4.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And that, of course, brings us to what we're listening to. This is Jiang Ting, Voices of the Pool.
Hmm. I was going to ask...
you guys don't listen to music lyrics much, do you?
I'm sorry.
We're providing
our own
lyrics.
Oh,
wait,
we're not part of the same religion. Oh, wait. Yeah, everybody, no one's
caller 2?
No one's a part of anything. Everybody's a part of everything, but no.
I'm sorry, caller 2, you were saying?
I lost my train of thought. I was saying that our talking on the radio is really a form of lyricism for the music. That's why there's no lyrics here, is because our words provide lyrics. Our words are lyrics.
And sometimes our souls can provide the internal music itself.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I've taken about 10 tabs of acid at once, and ever since then, I play music constantly in my head, and I find myself speaking to the beat a lot, and it really... I mean, I honestly, I'm a virgin, but I've come very close to losing my virginity since then, because I find I talk a lot more smoothly. So.
Well, I'm sorry to all our listeners. The actual title appears to be Voices of the Pipa, or Piper. It appears to be a typo on the spine of the album.
Hmm. That's pretty weak. You know, you'd think you'd at least spell check your own album.
Yeah, precisely. Well, technology, you know, it's like
why
a pubic...
Why spell check?
Like a pubic louse.
What?
Well, it's very irritating.
Oh, crab?
And small.
A pubic louse wielding a double-edged sword.
Porcupines rule.
Of course.
Anyway, about what you were asking about earlier, Robert, electricity can be changed into other things. Electricity, the energy in a photon or electron or anything else can be changed into matter, into solid matter.
Well, I that's exactly right. And I think the best example of this is when the power company changes power into money with a bill
right.
at the end of the month.
Right.
So this brings us, of course, to our poetry segment. Professor Levine brought with him as a professor of Jewish mysticism, an Arabic poem titled, I believe, the Dog of the Governor.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Which is a Jew?
Caleb El-Wali.
No. This is only regarding his duties as a Jewish mystical professor.
This poem actually plays a very important role in the history of mystical thought. So let me go ahead and read it first, and then I'll explain it.
So let's all listen to Professor Levine.
I love that.
Kelb walena el mu'adham adani el yaum wamat fada'ani haris al amin li'adham andama athbat taqrir el wafat anna kelb el sayyid el wali to Samam.
Yeah.
Oh, that was gorgeous.
It's very beautiful. For those of our listeners who are uneducated and don't speak Arabic, would you mind translating?
Yes.
You would mind?
I would not mind. I will translate. The dog of our mighty governor bit me today and died. And then the security guard summoned me for execution when it was proven that by the autopsy that the dog of our Lord Governor had been poisoned.
I don't get it.
The dog bit Professor Levine's character in the poem, and because perhaps the man is malnourished or sick, this poisoned the dog, and the dog subsequently died.
Mm.
And so because he possessed poisoned flesh and poisoned the dog...
Well, you know, human blood probably is toxic to dogs. We have a lot of different things in our blood.
Well, the deeper point of the poem is that what we think of as something nourishing for us is often poisonous for others. And so even if what we view in our soul as beneficial, that part of our soul itself may bring death upon others, and we have to be held responsible for that.
Mm. Ego, let go of your ego. You guys are all great.
So, for our remaining listeners, if you'd like to call in, our number is 617-253-8810, and we're doing our best to get you on the air, but...
I think I don't really like this radio show. I wish I had never called in and said porcupine.
Well, so what is it about this radio show that you're uncomfortable with or not ready to...
uncomfortable
in.
If
we
I don't
to have
like
another
it.
Caller.
Do you want me? What do you guys want me? Like whatever. Like I don't really care about humans.
Well,
that's my statement for music for humans.
Robert, why don't we punish you by putting you in timeout?
Punish me?
And we'll put another caller on the air.
We'll welcome you back later, or they will. I don't really control that.
Caller 6, you are on the air.
Hi, I would love to have my cards read.
Of course, we'll have Aurora, our local tarot expert, do this. If caller, if possible, could you turn down your radio?
Yes.
Do you have a specific question in mind?
I don't have a specific question.
Okay.
I don't.
Could you focus, please, again on the vision of yourself cutting the deck with your dominant hand?
Sure. Okay. Hello?
Hello. Just one moment as I try to connect to your aura.
Thank you.
I will simultaneously do a French playing card reading to try to amplify the connection.
For your past self, I've drawn the Empress, which depicts a young lady seated in upon beautiful-looking cushions, dressed with a crown of feathers in her hair. And she seems very at ease and very comfortable with life. Perhaps when you were younger, you were an empress, in a sense.
That sounds pretty. I was the apple of the eye.
Yes.
I drew a flush, diamond flush, and it's almost a straight flush, but you have 5, 6, 8, 9 and jack of diamonds, so it indicates you are close to perfection, but something is slightly off.
Instead, you're reading regular cards, and society interrupt you.
Yeah, they are French playing cards. They've been in my family for 8 generations, and so I find that I'm very attuned to the meaning.
Wow. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Please continue.
Well, in addition to the 5 diamond cards, I drew 2 aces and a queen, which it sort of amplifies the card, the Empress card that Aurora drew. The Empress, of course, aligning nicely with the queen and indicating perhaps another journey.
It's interesting that you should mention a journey. The second card that I drew for the present self is the 6 of Swords, which depicts a young, well, a lady, which we can't see the face of, in a boat being driven by a young man. That you are currently in a state of motion, that you are not entirely content at the moment, that there is something perhaps missing, but that you are moving towards it.
Okay.
So the young man and the young woman, or the woman whose face we can't see, of course, corresponding nicely again to the Jack and Queen that I drew earlier, but, you know, coming to a sort of future issue, we may wonder about the aces, and I'm curious how that will play out in the tarot version.
Well, before we continue, does any of this sound familiar to you?
Please continue. A lot of it sounds very familiar.
Well, caller, have you felt recently that you've been on a journey that you don't have total control over?
I think we're all on that journey. We don't have any control over it. I think we only have control over our actions, our reactions.
Totally.
Well, that's an excellent mindset. For your final card, I've drawn the 6 of Pentacles, which depicts...
Pentacles?
Yes.
What did you call them?
The 6 of Pentacles.
Oh, I thought you said pentacles.
Oh, no.
Like a squid. I really like calamari.
I don't like calamari.
Well, it's a good thing that they're pentacles, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This depicts a young man holding a scale and distributing grains to... 2 hungry-looking homeless people. In the future, you will perhaps be in a position of power over others, and you have to be careful to keep the scale in equal balance and to be fair and equitable.
That's hard.
Yeah, you know, with the economy going the way it is, you know, you might find yourself homeless, so... I think what that's probably saying is that...
What do you mean, I'm homeless?
If you are homeless, then and if you look for grain, you'll find it. You'll find bags full of it. So, you're a lucky person.
Well, that interpretation really flies in the face of the aces that I drew in the French reading, which seemed really to indicate our caller in the place of the person weighing the grain, perhaps indicating that you are looking for there's a fork in your future depending on fairness.
Depending on fairness?
On fairness. So you have these 2 aces, the 2 the Ace of Spades and the Ace of Clubs both are representing options, but unique options.
Right. You might either dig with the spade or hit someone with the club.
Neither one sounds fair.
Well, when you dig with the spade, you might find buried treasure.
But that means I have to work. Is that fair?
You know, Dostoevsky once said, homeless people are the children of God, the beloved children of God. And I would not, maybe being homeless might be the best thing for you. Just abandoning your possessions, you know, going after your spirituality, finding out what it's all about, etc. And I think that if you think about that, then that's a great thing, because the cards are saying is that you'll have grain to support you through that spiritual journey. So it's something to think about.
I think there is something in simplicity.
I'm sorry, what?
I said there definitely is something in simplicity and letting go of the perceptions of how we're supposed to live.
And not bathing all the time, it just gets tiresome, you know.
But at the same time...
Not bathing.
No, I think our caller is referring to minimizing the material.
Cereal?
The material.
But perhaps maximizing the material accumulated upon your skin.
Right. What? And there's a lot of toxins in soap and water.
Well,
that
no.
Work way into your skin.
Not dermal real estate accumulation. This is not what I believe. I'm not sure. Caller 8, is this what you were referring to?
Simplicity. I just think, you know, he talked about being homeless, and I was thinking the idea of getting away from the idea of, you know, having to have all kinds of material possessions is a good thing.
Right. There's an ancient Jewish saying, as one increases possessions, one increases worry.
Yes, and responsibility.
But at the same time, those depicted in the card are begging for the grains. They are lowering themselves to the ground and holding their hands out.
And I'm distributing them, or not me? I'm not in this, but...
I believe that you're the distributor, personally.
I believe so, too.
Yes.
Agreed.
I believe so, too.
But, caller, that means that you sometimes may have to decide who will get the grain.
Yes.
You have to decide who is worthy of the grain. That's a terrible weight.
I don't think it's about worthy, but I think it's about the usefulness. You know, and letting people do whatever it is they're going to do and be detached from the outcome.
And also, you may have to bend the rules that you are under in order to be compassionate with those around you.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps giving the pregnant woman a little more grain than she should have.
Okay.
Right.
I think one thing we're missing is the act of giving itself. I mean, that could have a certain significance in the new year, especially when other people are in hard times. Giving can bring joy to both those who have been given to and those who are doing the giving.
An economic and spiritual winter.
Right.
I mean, I guess. I mean, when I'm down in the dumps, I really like hearing a song.
Well,
this is a very interesting conversation.
That laughter is a song for me. It's a song for my soul.
It's not. It's jarring to me, to be honest.
It's jarring. I'm sorry.
It is an excellent laugh. As a voice therapist, laughing is definitely recommended in all cases.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
I'd like to say, except if you're hurting someone's feelings.
Well, thank you, caller.
Yes. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Maa salaam.
Bye-bye.
Namaste.
And compassion. Well, interesting. So, I'd like to talk about gravity.
Returning to gravity.
Right.
Yes.
In a sense of movement.
I mean, you're always returned to something because of gravity. You might as well return to gravity.
Well, let's...
You know. Well,
let's bring another voice into this. Marhaban, welcome to Music for Human.
Do you guys like the Talking Heads?
No.
No?
The Talking Heads? Are you referring to the...
sense to me.
To the voodoo... ritual with the shrunken heads?
Yeah.
Well, I was always
regarding... like a big head.
A big head?
Or you don't really have a head. You don't really have a body.
In a sense, we are voices floating through the void into your ears.
A disembodied apparition.
Robert, are you on drugs?
Well,
what's a drug?
Callers, let's not judge or bring accusations of substance abuse into the...
Well, I was asking because, not because I was judging, but I thought a psychedelic trip might do you good, Robert. Show you what life is all about, because life isn't all about calling radio shows and making fun of people you don't understand. I think if you took a couple of shrooms, you might learn a lot about yourself.
Callers, let's keep the discussion free of judgment or calls to action or any such thing.
Okay.
So,
words don't really exist.
Yeah, our discussion forum has recently been described as womb-like. And that's where I'd like to keep it.
Nurturing.
Let's go back in that
warm,
sense.
Tight, and moist.
To the topic of pubic lice.
I wish my umbilical cord, bungee cord, you know?
So that it sort of is, in a way, a bungee cord. You emerge at high speed, and then, you know, you find yourself rocketing back against your will repeatedly to your parents.
Back into the womb.
Right, and then chasing after uteri, if you happen to be a male, or a lesbian, or curious. So, that's what it's all about. Mating. The mating ritual. It's beautiful. But it's hard.
I think this brings us back to the Laos. Because the Laos exists partially due to our mating ritual, right?
Precisely. So, we are helpless, really, to avoid this bungee propulsion back to mating.
And another way of thinking about the Laos is that perhaps the entire purpose of our mating ritual is to provide a habitat for the Laos.
Interesting. So the Laos engineered us as we engineer houses.
Or the universe engineered us to nurture the Laos.
Right.
Do we have a responsibility to nurture the Laos?
I'd say no, but I think you can have compassion without nurturing. So
yeah,
I think it's important to recognize when you're scrubbing your genitals with anti-crab shampoo that you're destroying life. And, you know, just as, you know, you might say a prayer when you kill a mosquito, you know, you should consider the effect that you have on this louse and its family of lice. Right.
In a sense, I consider that when we must kill other creatures in order for us to live, it is part of the circle, the continuation of the paths of life, that if we do not kill these lice, then they will overtake the universe and things will no longer be in balance. Mm.
So perhaps our purpose is to encourage the existence of strong, healthy lice, and that's why we are driven to mate with such ferocity.
Mm.
Well, callers, we are reaching...
A lot of girls like it if you choke them or spank them or pull their hair, and that's exactly, you know, it's an affirmation of life, and
well,
you gotta kill
a
few lice to do that.
I think the message, maybe the conclusion, or one of many conclusions that we can draw, is that awareness of the pubic louse is an important part of being human. It's an important part of our rituals, our tradition.
And our existence. Well, unfortunately, everyone, we are reaching the top of the hour, so thank you to our many callers this evening, and to my co-hosts, Aurora.
And thank you for having me.
Professor Levine.
Thank you.
And Poe.
Have a good night.
And good night from Addictor Jalis Sakran. This has been Music for Humans. We are New Age Talk Radio every Friday at 7 p.m. on 88.1 WMBR FM, Cambridge. Ma'a salama.
Points for safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Blame the images on TV.
No, blame Canada.
With all their beady little eyes and clapping heads so full of lies.